Hello and welcome to the Columbia Daily Tribune's Mizzou Sports Podcast. This is Tribune Sports Editor Joe Waljesper, along with Tribune Basketball beat writer Danny Jones. Danny, Missouri coming off a pretty competitive loss to Kentucky, but a loss nonetheless. They are now 7-20 and 2-13 in the SEC. I guess you could argue they played a little better if you don't count the Tennessee road game here at the end. Has that changed anything in your mind as far as Kim Anderson's future?
No, it doesn't change the way that I see all this shaking out. Although I think you're right. In about the last 2.5 weeks, maybe the last 18 days, I think it's fair to say that they've gotten as much as they could probably get out of this squad with the 5-point win against Arkansas. Took A&M to the wire, lost by 3 in College Station. Should have beat Alabama, probably, and I think that was certainly a winnable game. And then basically played Kentucky competitive for about 38.5 minutes. So I think that's probably about the max that you can get out of this roster, just in terms of its size, experience, talent. So, but no, I don't think it changes the long term. And I think it would be, I think at this point it would be silly for somebody to look at the last 2 weeks as something that would totally change the course of the program for a long period of time, 3 years or even more with what they want to do as far as a coaching search goes.
Yeah, because there's obviously other stats you could throw out, that like the fact that they're the first SEC team to ever lose 20 games 3 consecutive years.
That's a problem. Ever. Of all yeah. Time.
That's a rough one. All right, well, given that, let's maybe spin forward and project. Mm-hmm. If we are dealing with a coaching search here in a few weeks, how has the landscape changed in terms of other schools that have decided or might be deciding? Maybe where's Missouri now fit in, do you think, amongst the schools that are probably going to be in the market for a coach?
So if you kind of look at some of the places that are – potentially hiring. Certainly North Carolina State is hiring.
They're dropping the program, they're
right,
hiring.
Yes. Right, exactly. Mark Gottfried won't be back next year. It looks like Indiana might be letting go of Tom Crean. There's been a lot of rumors about that happening. And if Indiana was to open up, I think that would certainly be the top opening across the country. John Gross at Illinois may be on his way out if they don't make the tournament, which is looking unlikely. So Illinois might have an opening next year. Washington, of course, Lorenzo Romar has been bandied about kind of locally and elsewhere. So Washington might have an opening. And then it looks like LSU will probably have an opening as well with Johnny Jones. So there's a lot of different ways to measure those programs. But just from my perspective, I think obviously Indiana goes to the top. North Carolina State's a pretty good situation, great recruiting territory, play in the ACC, which sends 7, 8, 9, 10 teams to the NCAA tournament every year. Illinois is still a pretty good program with a pretty good pedigree. Plays in a very competitive basketball conference. Again, really good recruiting territory and some good history and a better roster right now than Missouri has.
It's been a long time since they've been anything close to elite, though. It's been since Bill Self. The first year of Bruce Weber when he had all Bill Self's players, but it's been a while since Illinois has been good.
No, you're right. They've kind of muddled around in the middle of the Big Ten for a long time. Still, I see that as being a pretty attractive job for a potential coach. So, but I think Missouri probably has a lot to offer if you compare them against Washington and LSU. Certainly, those are programs that are awash in roster problems, too. Missouri's, I think, traditionally been a better program than either of those two. But I think that's kind of getting pretty tight. That's probably going to be up to an individual coach and how he views those and how much money Missouri is willing to shell out for a coach. So I kind of went and did some research on that. You know, if you look at the money that's available, Missouri operated with a surplus of $2.9 million for the last fiscal year, and a lot of that money came from SEC allocation coming from the SEC network. But that's a pretty good chunk of change to just kind of have in between the seat cushions if you're looking for a new coach, considering the average salary in the SEC for basketball is $2.3 million. And if you take John Calipari's $7 million a year out of that, it goes down to 1.9. Kim Anderson gets 1.1 now. So if you add the surplus to that, they have money to spend. And then, you know, they've spent more on coaches in the past. Mike Anderson and Frank Haith each got more than Kim Anderson's 1.1. So I think money-wise, they fit in pretty competitively too. So there will be other teams above Missouri in the pecking order, but I think they match up pretty competitively from a recruiting standpoint, a history standpoint, and certainly from a money standpoint.
Clemson is another school, possibly could be moving on. Boston College, possibly Washington State. But I think Missouri would be more attractive, or certainly no worse than a lot of the schools you mentioned, with the obvious exception of Indiana. Mm-hmm. And if Indiana comes open, then that just also means you've got another darn good coach on the market, in my opinion.
Right,
like, if Tom Crean was available and interested in Missouri, I would do whatever it took to hire him.
Right, if he's available, you know, give him a phone call. And I'm sure there, you know, there's going to be plenty of coaches that they give calls to. But yeah, certainly if Tom Crean is out there looking for a job, then that should, I would agree, I think that should be an aggressive play.
So I guess what we really don't know yet is Jim Stirk's MO, as far as does he prefer established coaches at Power Five schools and trying to lure them away with more money, or maybe they're upset with their current administration? Would he be more likely to go for a mid-major guy? He's not someone who tips his hand much,
right,
so we're
right.
A little in the dark. Mm-hmm. On that, I think it kind of depends on what happens. You know, another name that could be a big name that is possibly could come open is Fred Hoiberg. If he gets fired by the Chicago Bulls, he's a guy that I think almost any of these schools we've listed with an opening would have reason to be interested in. Mm-hmm. Let's look at some of the names that have been batted about, and you just give me your thoughts. All right.
Okay.
Let's start with maybe the hottest name amongst the mid-majors, Kevin Keats from UNC Wilmington. He's mm-hmm. from the he coached under Rick Pitino at Louisville,
right. mm-hmm.
and then he went to UNC Wilmington, which is obviously a kind of a low major. I think it's the Colonial Athletic League, so it's definitely mm-hmm. maybe two steps below the SEC. But has done nothing but win there in 3 years. What are your thoughts on him?
The Pitino ties are positive.
Assuming
and,
he.
Right. Well, yeah, they, exactly. Yes. Assuming he was not a part of the Louisville scandal, which his name was brought up, but I believe he was cleared of any major implications in that ordeal. As you said, UNC Wilmington has been a perennial tournament team since he's been there. He's an attractive guy, I think. But it's it can be tough. And as we're going through mid-majors, I think just the blanket statement is you just never know. Mm-hmm. But I think coming from, you know, Rick Pitino's background, of course, Louisville was excellent while Keats was there. Attractive mid-major coach. He's had nothing but success. So, you know, I think he's probably at the top of the mid-major candidates that may come available.
Another name we hear quite a bit is Will Wade from VCU. He's got VCU this year at 22-5 and probably a tournament team. My one question with him is, with anyone that is sort of extending the success of a previous coach as opposed to someone who took over a bad situation and improved it.
He
took over Shaka Smart's program and has kept it good, but you kind of wonder, he's not been there that long on his own. Mm-hmm. Is he still running on the fumes of Shaka Smart, or has he got his own stamp on the program?
I agree with you there. And I mean, VCU is a good program. They're probably going to the tournament this year, but yeah, that was what they were when he took over. So I think you're not going to have that luxury at Missouri. It's going to be a, you know, build it from the ground up kind of project. So I think you want to look for a guy that's maybe done that, as opposed to somebody who's taken over a mid-major and kind of guided it along and just kept it on the straight and narrow.
Illinois State, Dan Muller has them 23-5 this year and 15-1 in the Missouri Valley. He would be someone that has some experience recruiting the area, at least. Mm-hmm. He's someone I have to admit I wasn't too familiar with until this year.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on him?
Just I mean, Illinois State's a good program. Like you, don't really know that much about him aside from his recent success. So, Greg Marshall's another Missouri Valley guy, but I think everybody knows the book out on Greg Marshall is, you know, why come here now when he didn't come here 3 years ago. But yeah, local Midwest, I think that counts for a lot in these parts. But and speaking of that, I don't know if you have another coach, but just Kwanza Martin is another name that comes up, an East St. Louis guy who coached at Missouri State. You know, I remember his name being bounced around a lot when they initially hired Kim. And of course he's kind of,
and when they hired Hayes,
really. Yeah. So yeah, he's been a part of the conversation for a long time. And I think he's probably another candidate that could fit in there somewhere.
And if you're wondering why someone would leave Cal to come here, I guess the rumor has been that he maybe isn't a huge fan of the administration there, that, or at least maybe the administration has changed since he's been there. And he might be interested in getting back to the Midwest. If if he was interested, he certainly would be someone that I think they should pursue. I'm not saying hire him, but take a good long look.
Right.
One, before we get off the mid-majors, one other name, which I haven't heard a whole lot, but sort of intrigues me, is Kermit Davis at Middle Tennessee. They've been really good. They've made the NCAA tournament two of the last 4 years. They've won 20 games, five out of the last 6 years. They upset Michigan State last year in the tournament.
Right.
He's a little on the older side. He's got a ton of experience, I mean, as a head coach, dating back to the early 90s. But he's, I think he's 56, 57 years old, so he's not young. But he's a pretty proven guy who seems, later in his career, been knocking it out of the park. He's under contract till 2024, but it's not a huge contract. So if you're, as you're looking at mid-majors, he seems like he might be a little more, maybe less of a crapshoot than some of these guys would be.
Right,
because there's more, he's just done it for longer.
Right.
Moving up a little, we mentioned Kwanza Martin. Kelvin Sampson, intrigue you or does not? Very successful at Oklahoma. Was good at Indiana briefly and then just couldn't get out of his own way in terms of making texts that were not permissible. Houston, he's been solid. I think they're 18-8 this year.
Yeah, another tournament team.
I like him. I liked covering him from afar when he was at Oklahoma. He's not young. I mean, he's in his early 60s. It seemed like it made a lot more sense when Mac Rhodes was the AD just because of the connection, but I don't know. I think you could do worse than Kelvin Sampson.
No, I agree. I think it's kind of, I think the it would be a willingness to roll the dice. You know, how risky do you want to be with this hire? You have to have somebody that can be a lightning rod for this program, somebody that can put butts in seats, get them going, and get some just quality players. But of course, if that is your top priority, and Kelvin Sampson has a history of getting in trouble with the NCAA, are you willing to roll the dice on somebody that has a history of sanctions? Do you want to go that route? I think that's probably something that they might weigh too, considering you know, some of the sanctions that the basketball program has already gone through. So if you're willing to roll the dice and get a name like Kelvin Sampson, I think you're right. I think you could do a lot worse, especially considering his track record. But I think that might be a concern for a new administration. Let's, you know, do we want to roll that, take that chance and get a great recruiter, or do we want to kind of stay away from potential sanctions?
Missouri women's basketball has also been playing much better lately and has really positioned itself pretty solidly for the NCAA tournament. Last week, they beat win at Florida. Then they come home and beat then sixth-ranked South Carolina in a pretty exciting game. I know you weren't there covering that game.
Right.
You were a bit busy, and you were actually driving back probably from...
We were trying to find it on the radio station through St. Louis. It was not on, so we were following on Twitter, driving back through the St. Louis metro. I'll let you finish. Outstanding game, obviously.
And they're a team that early on looked like this was just going to be a kind of a loss. I mean, maybe a WNIT-type season once they lost Jordan Frericks. And then they just got totally run when they went to IUPUI and got beat by like 30 points. And didn't, you know, they were okay in some of these other non-con games, but nothing great. And then they really turned it around in the SEC. So either the SEC is terrible which I don't think is the case, or Missouri, I think, is really improved, mm-hmm. which I think is the case. And I guess maybe in the last week especially, Sophie Cunningham, she's an interesting star player because she doesn't – when teams want to take her out of the game, she doesn't – she'll shoot five times in the game and mm-hmm. not force it. But she really took over in these last two games for Missouri, and especially in the South Carolina game. She kind of went head-to-head with Asia Wilson, who is the SEC Player of the Year, and eventually did her one better with the what she did on the last. And I think she gives them what Missouri really lacks, which is when you really need a basket, someone you know can do it.
Mm-hmm. The men's team could use somebody like yeah. that.
I really feel like they have role players screaming out for a star to play around.
Right.
And the closest they have to it is Jordan Barnett.
He's a reluctant superstar.
Yeah. But anyway, back to the women. I think they're right now, I think they have two games left in the SEC, and they're, I think, projected as the number six seed at the moment in the NCAA tournament. So they're definitely going to be a tournament team. So if you can get to the tournament in the year when you lost your all SEC forward before the thing even started, I mean, I think they're just positioned great for, I think, could be a really big season next year. Mm-hmm. When basically they lose their two point guards, Lindsey Cunningham and Leanna Doty, but I think they should be in fine position to
right.
Have a big year next year.
And four seeds better this year than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially with missing Frericks, I mean, that's huge. And I was going to, you brought up Sophie Cunningham, and like you said, she kind of tends to appear, you know, some games she'll defer and kind of take a passenger role, a backseat role, and then against South Carolina, she is the star player of the game. She's the player of the week, mm-hmm. national, SEC. Pretty much every mm-hmm. outlet that issues a player of the week has Sophie Cunningham as a player of the week. Just what do you see her ceiling being? Is she somebody that can be an SEC player of the year?
I guess I would have to look at who the other great SEC players and what year they are in school. I think she really benefits from teams that, like South Carolina, they're just going to come out and play very much pressure man-to-man defense. And I think so she was basically just one-on-one with a slightly smaller defender. And you got the good thing about her is she has a lot of different skills. Like she was posting up a lot. She could get around that girl and go to the basket. So she has kind of a wide-ranging game, but I think maybe the teams that specifically skew defenses to stop her, I mean, you can do it if you want to do it that way. And Missouri does have some other players that can score too. Sierra Porter really is a better college player than she was in high school, more productive anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sierra McKellis can score too. So they got some other weapons, but I think when she runs into defenses that aren't specifically trying to stop her, she can have big games like she did the other day.
Yeah. Is this a team that could make the Sweet 16, do you think?
Well, I wish I was a bigger women's basketball expert to tell you that story. I think the fact they beat South Carolina, that would give you hope that they could hang with in the past, I've always thought Missouri's maybe had a little bit of a ceiling athletically
mm-hmm.
and size-wise.
Yeah.
Which they do still. And maybe on a neutral court or a road game, South Carolina would get more calls inside. Missouri, what they really did was pack, and they do this a lot, is pack it in mm-hmm. and basically told South Carolina, you can shoot your three-pointers, and if they go in, you're going to beat us, and if they don't, we got a chance. And they were 3 of 18. So mm-hmm. it kind of depends. I think they have to – if they run into a hot outside shooting team, they could go out early. And if they run to a cold outside shooting team, which happens in the NCAA tournament because you're in foreign environments,
mm-hmm.
They could surprise people, I think, because they do have – they can score. They got a varied enough attack, I think, they could score.
Yeah. I was going to ask, too. It looked like Don Staley was saying something about if the officials are going to call it the way they are. I mean, this has been a recurring theme.
Women's basketball coach. And it's not just at Missouri games. Like, I saw where they were getting pretty salty in the Baylor, Texas aftermath.
Right.
These women basketball coaches give good press conferences. I think she was upset that people were just draped all over. They had a big 6'6 girl or 6'4 girl that she felt she only took one shot the whole game that she was getting. And it was the old, I'm not criticizing, but
right.
my girl's getting fouled all the time. you know, on the road that happens, and I think she'd probably get those calls at home. But there are, like, a team like that, they had 2 6'4 talented players. So Missouri is going to struggle to match up with that because they only start one big person and they have four guards.
Right.
So thank you for joining us again on the Mizzou Sports Podcast.